Hello everyone, my name is Dmitry Balin. I run this company, DB Best. Just a few words about who we are and what we do, and what I do indeed. I used to be very technical. With the years, I started to be more going to the business side. We originally developed migration tools, migration products. The idea was to take, if you take an existing application that was originally written to run on Oracle or Sybase or DB2 or MySQL or Informix, and you want to run it somehow on another database, not necessarily SQL Server, how to do that? And so if you ever met this kind of problem, this kind of project, you would know that you would need to somehow move the database, the schema, the data. You would need to make changes in the application, test everything, you know, integrate everything. And then, so that would be the process. The challenge is that since there are many SQL dialects, so pretty much every database vendor implements their own database language, it's not easy to port an application from one database to another. So at some point we said, hey, you know what, let's come up with some automated tools to do that, to actually convert one SQL dialect to another one. And we started from converting from PL/SQL to T/SQL and the other way around. And that was back in 2002. I lived in Silicon Valley, in the San Jose area back then. So we created first a tool. It was a simple tool to do that. Then we actually wanted to make something bigger. We wanted to create a product that, what we would call later on, runtime converter, that would allow to take an application, again, originally written for one database, and run it on another database, but without changing the source code, so kind of as is. That was a vision, and for that that was a real startup, so we kind of raised some money and so forth. But since the very first pair of databases we've been focusing on was actually migrations from Oracle to SQL Server, and Microsoft back then was planning to release Yukon, SQL Server 2005. So we worked very closely with the teams, Microsoft teams around the world, and the product group. And at some point they said, hey, you know, maybe we can buy the technology from you guys and make it Microsoft product. And that actually happened back in 2005. So we sold the DB Best sold the technology to Microsoft. Myself and other few people, we joined the SQL Server product group. We had the development center in Ukraine. I speak Russian as my native language, so that team is still there. And I spent the last 3 years at Microsoft and in the SQL Server product group in Redmond. That's where I live now. I was a director in the SQL Server product group, responsible for all the migrations from different databases, from Oracle, Sybase, DB2, Informix, MySQL, to SQL Server. And for the tool development. The tool is a SQL Server Migration Assistant. That's how we renamed the product. It used to be called DB Best Migration Suite. The tool is free. Anyone can download it. So, you know, you're welcome to try. So that's my background. Now, as a company, I left Microsoft last year. I spent 3 years at it's a great company, great people, very much enjoyed that. And they went back to DB Best. So now I'm DB Best, I'm running DB Best again. We're about 75 people with offices in Redmond, some people in US. We've got an office in Israel, got an office in Ukraine. Do a whole bunch of migrations for customers pretty much worldwide. I fly to Europe, to US, to Asia. We developed some new database products, new database tools. One of the tools is the new one that is going to come up this summer. It's going to be Database Compare Suite, DB Best Database Compare Suite, to compare two databases. So it's going to be, let's say, compare SQL Server with SQL Server, compare schemas, identify differences, and then synchronize, and to do the same for the data. To databases, compare data into number of tables, identify differences, create script, synchronize. and so forth, to do the same for the settings, for database settings, for user settings, for permissions, for packages, cubes, etc. So actually really take two databases compared. But that's coming up. And we do a whole bunch of other things, you know, it's interesting projects. So migrations. So, you know, I've been doing that since 2002. Pretty much a lot of focus on this. Just out of curiosity, how many of you tried or participated in the migration projects? So which database did you migrate from?
Two projects, from Oracle to SQL 2005, and from MySQL to SQL 2005, one with the SSMR assistance.
I see. So how did it go?
First one took way longer than estimated, and the second one was quite good.
Okay, cool. So the SQL Server marketing team ran a survey last year, and they got to the number that was almost 90,000 downloads of the tool. There are four tools right now released. When we back in 2005, there was a SSMA for Oracle only. Now there is a SSMA for Oracle, for Sybase ASE, for Access, and for Power Builder. So the number keeps growing, and it actually generated quite a lot of sales and revenue for SQL Server. And as a result of that, it generated quite a bit of revenue for the, you know, service companies who provide these type of services. So some of the things that, you know, when I was at Microsoft and we kind of and I continue working with those teams, really to help to the both the customers and the partners to drive the migrations forward, these are some of those. So there are white papers that describe, kind of guides that describe how to migrate in terms of the process, and really focusing on very technical issues like what do you do, let's say it's a Oracle migration, what do you do with sequences, or how do you handle packages, or how do you convert Oracle objects or VRAs or nested tables, how do you convert those. So that's kind of the idea. Obviously there are tools, and the tools are free again, right? You can always send an email to ssmahelp, alias, it's ssmahelp@microsoft.com, and then it's pretty much kind of free support, so it's not guaranteed, right? There's no, you know, commitment that, you know, that someone will respond. Usually either us or someone else will get back to you with some form of answer. Now, just briefly, and you know, you probably have heard the pitches about SQL Server, why it's good, you know, all the nice features of SQL Server 2008, that's all well known, but just kind of usually, you know, when you go for migration, say from Oracle, customers would say, hey, you know, here's the cost of Oracle, how much you pay for the licensing, for support, and support increase obviously is in one of the considerations. So here's the cost of Oracle and how many DBAs would be required per number of databases. And here's the cost of SQL Server. Almost always, the cost of SQL is lower, so it's just less expensive. And then the big question is really what would it take, how much would it cost to do the migration? So the less money the customer would have to pay for the migration itself, the more chances are that they would actually do that. They would actually move their database and applications. So anyway, so the TCO of SQL is lower than Oracle. Now, the other piece is the fact that SQL Server is strong, robust, and capable of running really enterprise-ready applications. And that's something that, you know, different people got different opinions. I think starting with SQL Server 2005, it really got to the point where you can run pretty much any application on SQL Server. And I just know that, you know, I was, as part of my job at Microsoft, I was going to visit customers many places. So we went once to New York. So there's a whole bunch of Sybase migration and Oracle migrations was happening in New York, in the financial services companies and banks and so forth. And those who didn't, they are just now suffering. So anyway, we came to, you know, a customer, and then there was a guy there, and we, you know, we tried to demonstrate the value of SQL, explain, you can move your existing apps from Sybase Oracle to SQL, you know, it's going to be nice and all that. And then he says, to SQL Server? And it's like, yeah. And then he shows the box, you know, the PC on his, under the table, says, that's where it runs. The Sybase and Oracle, that's a data center. And SQL is here. And that's kind of the perception that existed before, you know, SQL Server 2005. I think it got to the point where it's much stronger now, much better now. This is a real database. And obviously 2008 is even stronger. And yeah, you can take pretty much any Sybase Oracle app and run it on SQL. A number of times what we've done, we did some benchmarks. So we work with the customer, we take an existing application or part of that app, move it to SQL, and then run some benchmarks, comparing the performance for the same type of load. At least so far, we didn't see Oracle winning, let's put it this way, so which is fairly good. So, well, the Enterprise Data Platform, the features and functions, there are a number of papers comparing the from the feature standpoint, Oracle and MySQL and Sybase and DB2. I know that, as an example, the fact that SQL Server 2008 has got a new spatial data type now allows many more customers to move. Much more functionality in there. For example, in DB2, you've got many DB2 migrations were kind of stalled because there was no way to move the timestamp data type. So it was hard to do. Now, because of the new daytime 2 data type in SQL Server 2008, it's possible to do that. So all kind of features in the product. And the security, you know, there is a nice slides deck demonstrating how many vulnerabilities were discovered in Oracle versus SQL Server. You've probably seen that. If not, you know, we can always show that. But the numbers are quite impressive. I did a number of presentations on those slides. People could not believe that SQL Server, for the last few years, almost didn't have any security issues. And you know, I got sometimes into arguments with people sitting, you know, in the audience saying, no, it's not true. The numbers are kind of fabricated or something. That's the case. Now, from the product group standpoint, when, you know, even, you know, we SSMA, it's a fairly small tool compared to the entire SQL Server. But I know how many security reviews and code reviews we went through to demonstrate or to, you know, to prove that the product is robust, especially from the security standpoint. So there is no kind of hacking, or there is no backdoors. There is no ways to get into the product and to hack it and potentially get into some malicious code into the converted SQL Server code. You know, so I know, and there's a huge amount of effort went to securing SQL Server itself. So just FYI. Now, so all that is great. That's valid for, say, new applications. The question is, so why would you migrate? Really, why customers say, hey, I need to move to SQL Server? So obviously from the Microsoft standpoint, they want to do that. But why the customer want to do that? And so we put together a number of reasons. Some of them are kind of really big ones. Sometimes it's not that important. But this is pretty much the summary, or the variations of those that would actually happen. So the for Oracle migrations, pretty much, it's more cost effective, or, you know, cheaper. It's more cost effective to run it on SQL Server. In terms of functionality, yes, Oracle usually, or sometimes they have more features in certain areas. But when you look at the real life implementations of the systems, people don't use all those features. And so some of those features are really very rarely used. And so from the cost standpoint, the SQL Server is more cost effective. That's kind of it's a very basic thing. And so especially now when there is the economy went down and all that, people try to save money. Customers try to save money, and that's a big driver for the migration. Now, the other reason is that SQL Server becomes a standard in the organizations. So if you go to customers and they've got, they need to make a decision which databases to standardize on. Many times companies don't want to rely just on one vendor. So it used to be, there used to be cases where it was, let's say, Oracle and Sybase or Oracle DB2. Nowadays, the second database, or in the first one, becomes a SQL Server. And so once that's the case, I know, for example, one of the largest financial institutions or the credit card companies in the world decided that the second database is going to be SQL. Once they decided that, there is a number of migrations is going on in that organization, and that will just continue to grow. The other piece is the database vendor satisfaction. When I joined Microsoft, I kind of wasn't aware that much of that, but you know, database research companies, they run some reports, satisfaction among the database customers. Turns out, for some reason, don't know why, that satisfaction of Oracle customers with the Oracle account teams and support is fairly low. And you know what? If I would be Oracle, I would probably do something about it. But somehow it doesn't happen. So people do get frustrated with Oracle support and with Oracle licensing and pricing and the way that they handle their customers. Don't ask me why. Don't know. But that's what happens. So it's not the only reason why would people move, but that's a big component in their decision. They would just, you know what, don't want to deal with these guys. Now, this is kind of an important thing. So in many of the organizations, it's not just one database, but multiple. And so many times this consideration of, hey, I've got an existing app, I can maybe consolidate my environment on another server, I can move it. If you can do it easily and cheap and fast using tools, all that, that's a driver for migration. The application upgrade, or the hardware upgrade, or the product support, these are the pretty much also very good reasons to do the migrations. It's not maybe less the reasons, more the kind of the timing. So let's say you've got a customer who is about to upgrade their server, the hardware. You know, to say Sun Solaris box, it was there for 5 years or for 7 years. It's time to do the upgrade. And then the question is, and it's running, say, you know, Oracle 9.9. The question is, should they do the upgrade to 11G and to, on the new box, or would they move everything and move it over to SQL Server and Windows? Now, customers sometimes say, hey, well, it's definitely going to be more expensive to do the move, rewrite, you know, all that. That's true. You have to do some work. But on the other hand, if you do the upgrade of Oracle or Sybase or DB2, there is still some work involved. So pretty much every step of a migration project would occur in the upgrade project. You would still need to install. You would still need to convert the database or upgrade the database and the app and retest everything and do some performance tuning. And even though it might be not that much time as it's with the migration, but still it would take some time. So that's kind of the consideration. Any questions so far? Feel free to interrupt. I mean, I'm easy. What kind of migrations, you know, when we originally started, we tried to look at the migration world and tried to kind of to structurize it. There are two types of applications, pretty much. There are packaged apps and the custom-written apps. So the custom-written, that's something that the code that the customer owns. Say, you know, you are say Bank of America or Citibank. You do have a whole bunch of applications. You develop for them for yourself. You are the one who own the code. And this application, it exists in only as one application, just for you. Any change you make it only once. There's no other customers. The packaged apps, these are the apps that the ISVs created. So the SAP, Siebel, you know, PeopleSoft, or the any ISVs that created apps, these are the packaged apps. If you're a customer and you're considering to move, say you've got an Oracle machine, you're considering to move it over to SQL Server. The question is, what do you do? So on that machine could be two types of apps. There could be packaged apps or the custom written apps. If it's a custom written, you own the code, so you can make changes in this code and then to convert the database, the application, etc. If it's a packaged application, you can't do that. You have to talk to the vendor, to the ISV that created the app. And I've seen that a number of times when customers just took the application, got to the source code, if they had the access to the source code, and just made the changes. And then the ISV got so frustrated about it, so they just terminated the support of this app and so forth. Because that just, once you make changes in the package tab, in the application that they own the code, it becomes, from their standpoint, very unstable. So that's an important thing to talk to the ISV if you considering to move the packaged application. Always do assessment first. Well, the point behind assessment is that, let's say there's no SSMA. People were still migrating. It's kind of, you can do pretty much all of the steps of SSMA manually. The challenge was that it wasn't clear what would be the effort, how long would it take, and how much would it cost, and where the risks are. So that was the main benefit of the tool, really to automate this process and to come up with the answers pretty much fast and reliable. If you run it again, it would come up with the same answer. So the idea of the assessment, let's just use migration analyzer module of the tool, and I'll show the tool. But use this module, use some questionnaire, there is a forum, there's a number of forums, but we use a specific one. Run it. At the end, you're going to see some numbers. These are the numbers that just, they would point you to the, whether it's a simple application to move or a complex one, or the database. And then we know that sometimes customers say, hey, I'm going to do everything by myself. It's a valid approach, and customers do that. The challenge many times is that once you get to this process, you might discover certain issues on the way there, certain problems or challenges or, some of the things that you didn't think about before. And so that's the point of involving someone who's done it before. So the tool, the SSMA. So SSMA consists of four modules. Usually, there is a migration analyzer, schema converter, data migrator, and the tester. Each one of the modules tries to automate different steps in the migration process. And so it's kind of simplified version of the process, and I've got some other picture that shows the all other steps, but from the very pragmatic standpoint, you've got the assessment, we've got the conversion of the schema and the, store procedures or packages or functions, we've got moving the data, we need to test the converted database. At this point, we get SQL Server database with the business logic, with the schema, and with the data. And then we need to do something about the app. Integrate, deploy, you've got the new application up and running on SQL. So our focus for years was to do up to this point. The Power Builder tool, that was the first one that started addressing the application conversion. So we could actually take the Power Builder code, the application, and this analyzer can scan it, identify all embedded SQL statements within the code, and then come up with the assessment. What would it take to move them to SQL Server? And so hopefully once we get to the next step of developing the Power Builder migrator, that's going to be or code converter, that's going to be the actual conversion of the code. Questions? So, you know what, let me show you the tool itself. I'm just, because I've been talking, let me show how the tool looks like. How many of you have seen the tool? Okay, so let me show it. It would be more interesting, I hope. So, let me call, I'll close it, I'll run it just from the command line. So this is the tool. It has, so this is the SSMA for Oracle. It got the metadata of Oracle, and here it's going to be some information about the object. It got SQL Server Metadata Explorer, and then it's going to be SQL Server here. Now, SSMA can operate in one of two modes. It can connect to a database, or two databases, Oracle and SQL, or it can work on a project file. So, and think of a project file as kind of a Visual Studio project file. So in this case, I'm going to show in the project file. So I'm going to connect, I'm going to open a project, and that's for one of the customers. It's a real database. A project, it's a whole bunch of XML files, just containing the metadata about the databases, Oracle and SQL Server databases. And so, I don't know if you noticed, there was some load in this metadata. So now, I've got, here's the Oracle database. And in the bottom, this is a SQL Server. So I can pretty much go through Oracle database objects and see, you know, what's in there. So I can just pick up the tables. Right? So now, since this database, we convert, when we save the project file, we converted the database before, so you'll see the object, the Oracle object, and the corresponding SQL Server object. But it doesn't have to be this way. When you connect the very first time, you don't have the SQL Server converted objects yet. Because the very basic thing that you can do is to actually convert an object. You just once I'm pointing to an object, I can click on Convert Schema here. Overwrite, yes. And I would get the converted code for this database, for this object. I could have selected a number of objects. I could have selected the entire database. That doesn't matter. Here at the bottom, I get some error messages or warning messages. That's the idea. And then I can take a look at the, say, SQL statement for Oracle or for SQL Server. Right? So that's a simple task of creating an object. And I can do the same thing for pretty much any other type of object. So I can do that for, say, views. Picking up a view, running convert, and getting the converted code at the bottom. Now, since the SSMA operates in such a way that every single conversion, it happens here in the project. So if I save it, I would save it in the project file. But it's not in the database yet. So what I could do, I could just either save, let's say, save the converted object as a script, right? I could have just saved it as a script. Or I could synchronize with database and write it into the database. Either way is fine. But it gives users the flexibility in terms of, so one of the scenarios, you go to customer, you run SSMA, and instead of, you don't have to be at the customer site all the time. You can just get all this, the entire schema into the project file, you know, take the project file with you, copy it to your USB, you know, drive or anything, and then take it with you, and you've got that. You've got the project file. You've got the schema. So you can work on that. Now, and you can actually work without being connected to Oracle or to SQL. Once you're done with the conversion of these objects, you just take this USB drive with you, or send it to customer. Now, you know, they can just upload it or synchronize with the database. That's how it would work. and say store procedures. I mean, you know, procedures, that was pretty much one of the first things that we've done, really, to take a store procedure or a package and convert it to a SQL Server. So we could just pick up a procedure, again, select that. I can do right-click, or I can do from the menu, convert schema, and this object and all the dependent objects would be converted. So here I got some the converted code, and I'll show you in a minute how I look at that from different from a different viewpoint. But you know, that's kind of the idea. So in an ideal world, or a very simple scenario that anyone can do, even if you don't know Oracle, you go to Microsoft.com/SQL website. Well, you know, first you have a customer, you have an Oracle database, identify that Oracle database. Then you go to Microsoft.com/SQL. There is a place there that says migration. You go there. There is a link to download SSMA. You do that. You download it, you install it, it's free. It's going to ask you to license to register. Well, so you register. So you're going to get the license key. And the reason why it's done, it's for the tracking purposes. So we know, not we, I mean, I'm no longer Microsoft. Microsoft knows how many people download or use the product. You run this product the same way that I just did, but instead of opening project file, you connect to Oracle. You select the objects or the schemas you want to run either assessment or actually conversion on these objects. You connect to SQL Server. And you click on either create report here or convert schema, either one of those. And then you either get a report being generated or you get the converted schema. Easy? Yeah, that's that's it? Okay, now let's go. Yeah.
The report process is actually very good. I can show the customer the difficulties around the migration. So it has a time estimate.
Yeah, so fair.
So it's a very good tool.
Thanks. So the report, let me show you how a report looks like. Now, the report may take time to run, because if you've got a database with, you know, say 300 tables, 200 store procedures, it's going to process each one of the objects. So it just may take time to generate a report. So I can run it right now, and it's going to take maybe an hour to generate all this type of report. But this is a real report that I ran beforehand on this database. And I picked up a report that it's not, you know, 100% automated on purpose. So, it wouldn't say that I'm biased, kind of, but I just want to show the value of the tool. So some of the numbers, what to look at here. One of the basic things, and probably, you know, the ones that at least I'm looking at, this one. So it's a total estimated manual conversion time. And in this case, it says 695 hours. Now, the question that usually, comes up in discussions is, how do I know? How does the tool know that it's going to be 695 hours? Any guesses?
Yeah, you have done it before.
No, but I mean how the SSMA knows.
Yeah, but input that knowledge into the tool.
Right, but so that's pretty much true. So what we've done, the tool, the way that the assessment is done, we actually get the code, we read the metadata for every store procedure, for every table, etc., for every package, and then we try to convert each one of the objects. So we parse the code. I mean, there is a component in the SSMA, it's a parser, parses the code, then we build some kind of tree-like structure. So it's a tree. And then we apply conversion rules to different nodes in this tree. So let's say the select statements, the declare statements, the cursor processing statements, etc. Now, for each statement, we actually tried, so our DBAs sat down and they estimated manually how long it takes them to convert this code manually to SQL Server. So let's say if you've got declare statement, really, how long would it take? It could be, 60 seconds to retype that in SQL Server. Or copy-paste, right? That would be. Or if you need to do, let's say, select star from table, how long would it take to do copy-paste? That's pretty much the idea. And if you add the where clause, how long would it take to copy this, to add this where clause, etc. So we know for every statement how long it takes to convert manually this statement. Then once we have that, the SSMA knows which statements it can convert, which cannot. And so pretty much this number is the aggregation, is the summary of all these minutes for every statement that it cannot convert. Right? So that's pretty much the idea. So this number becomes really, so it goes through all the errors, through all the selected objects, through all the entire code, and says, well, this statement it wasn't able to convert, and that statement was 3 minutes, and that statement it wasn't able to convert, and that statement was, 15 minutes. And this function got error, that was another 25 minutes. And this summary of all of these, that becomes this estimate. So that's why the estimate is reasonable. I mean, this is not a wild guess saying, hey, it's going to be something. This is a reasonable estimate. And by the way, that was one of the big differences of when the field, the Microsoft field and the customers started using this tool. So it gave a way very fast to really estimate the complexity of the databases, of the database conversion. Now, one of the most popular questions is, so how reliable is the number? Really, whether it says 695 hours, right? Or when you mentioned that you ran the tool and it took longer to complete the conversion.
Well, the one that took vastly much more time was without SSMA.
I see.
The one that went well was with SSMA.
I see. Well, well, I mean, what happens sometimes is that this number gets a bit more high. Why? Because let's say you've got the same type of error occurring, 200 times. And every time SSMA thinks it's going to take 2 minutes to fix that. So as a result, you're going to get 2,000 minutes, right, to complete the conversion of certain error or to fix certain error. But in reality, once you do it, the very first once or twice or, 3 times, you're going to know how to do that. So it might be really simple to do it all other, 195 times. And so the final number, these numbers, many times they would go down just as a result of that. That's kind of one of the things that, if you have more time in the future versions, we will just add that to the assessment to fix that. Other than that, we don't have too many issues with the assessment. The other nice thing about this analyzer and this assessment report is that, let me show you, let's say I pick up a store procedure. So if I do that, I can just select, I can point to a statement in Oracle and see what it's going to be converted to in SQL Server. Right? So the good thing about it is for those of you who know SQL Server and say don't know Oracle, know Oracle and don't know SQL Server, that could be a nice way, you know, to learn SQL Server or to learn Oracle. I mean, if you're really up to it. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. That's one of the things that we don't. The SSMA doesn't support. We want to add it at some point. The approach always was that hey, let's look at all the features of Oracle, all of them, and let's kind of prioritize which ones the SSMA going to cover. And Java Store Procedures is definitely there. It's just that there's not that many people who use that. So in terms of, and again, you know, when let's maybe kind of, you know, if you have your application, if in that application there is Java Store Procedures, you know what, the fact that the SSMA doesn't support, that's kind of bad, because it doesn't allow you to make it fast. But when I look at the many, many, many customers, I didn't see that many Java Store Procedure usages. So that's kind of the reason.
And what about objects?
Yes. The objects, we looked at all the collections, the VRAs, the nested tables, the objects, and in the first versions of SSMA, we didn't have support of those. So we were just reporting that, hey, there is an error. There is a, say, VRA or object usage. We don't know how to handle that. And then in, I think, SSMA version 3 or 4, 3.1, we introduced the support of objects the very first time. The biggest challenge with support with converting objects or nested tables or VRAs is that to make it totally generic, that's hard. Because really depending on how you use them, that would determine the how to convert. You see what I'm saying? So the point is that the approach is not universal. It really depends how you use the objects. Sometimes we may suggest to convert to use temporary tables. Sometimes we may suggest to convert to using XML data type. And so right now we have a certain implementation of that. But on the other hand, we do know that we actually did quite a bit of analysis on that. I think a part of it is in the document. There is a, I think I have it open here just to show you. There is a guide. You see all the Russian names. So there is a guide. Actually, this is for SQL migration to SQL Server 2005. We are updating this guide for SQL Server 2008, and this is going to be released for Microsoft. And it's going to be released probably around June. I mean, it's the draft is done. It's just a matter of releasing that. But it goes through all kinds of conversion issues, especially those issues that are not covered by SSMA. And so, say, a combination of SSMA, a product, a tool, and the guide, and, you know, it's a good combination. It would answer many questions. And if it's not there, just, you know, ask us. I mean, you know, ask someone else.
Where can they find this?
Also, you know, you go to this microsoft.com/SQL. There is a link to migrations. And there you've got all the collateral, all the documents. The documents, the case studies, the tools, the links to the tools, pretty much everything is there. But I mean, these documents is actually quite good. And you see, here's the last chapter, migrating Oracle collection and records.
Just one comment. If you get the question, if you could please repeat the question when we get the question, then it will be.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So the question was where to download, where to get the this document, and yeah, to get the document on the Microsoft.com website, and so there are certain options in here, right? Just outlined and some examples. I mean, the document is technical. This is you know, some documents describe some, you know, marketing, you know, why SQL Server is good and all that. This is very technical. This is just purely for DBAs or, you know, consultants who actually need to do the job, need to convert the code. That's pretty much the goal. And the new version, like I said, is going to be coming up, I think, in June, maybe July time frame. Just you know, sure. Yeah, so if I go back to the, so that's the assessment. So assessment gives you a way to go through the objects and see what's there. And it's, like I said, it's, I don't know, you probably didn't see that. In the first, in the original version of SSMA, there was a feature that we called it Zebra. And the Zebra, it was part of the tool, part of the SSMA, not the assessment. Inside Zebra, we were actually really were painting each one of the objects, each one of the statements in a different color. And we were able to expand or collapse it. And it was really looked like Zebra, so that was the name. And people so liked it a lot. I mean, anyway, now we just put this assessment report as a separate kind of, it's a whole bunch of XML files. It's actually the number of XML files or HTML files could be huge because it creates an HTML file or XML file per object. So if you want to, for example, sometimes we talk to the customers, we tell them, hey, you know, can you send us the assessments report? And this assessment report can be, you know, 50 gigabytes the size. I mean, there's a whole bunch of files. So many times we end up, you know, we have an FTP site, we say, well, you can upload it to our FTP site and so forth. But from your very pragmatic standpoint, if you talk to a customer, and let's say you ask the customer to run the assessment report, just run it there, then go to the directory where this assessment report is stored, then archive the files, just, you know, zip them, and copy this zipped file to your USB or hard drive or something. But that could become, you know, big file. Just FYI. So that's the assessment. Now, another way to look at that is to, so, you know, how we look at that usually. We go through the error messages. So these are, here in the bottom, are our error messages grouped by different types. And so what I can do, I can just, you know, expand, and it tells me which object the error occurs. I mean, it tells me what type of error and where it happens, which object. So I can click here the kind of next problem, and it brings me to the place in the code where the error message occurs. And then I can look at the code to see what kind of message I would get. So in this case, the following SQL clause cannot be converted. And I don't know why. Maybe it wasn't able to recognize what these old C1, what these calls are. But anyway, the idea is that it gives you a way to know where the statements refer to, where the errors refer to. And so, once you actually start working on that, that's a fairly, you know, good way to understand what's in the code, etc. So this assessment becomes not just, you know, Excel spreadsheet with some numbers. It's actually a kind of working environment for you to demonstrate, let's say, to your customer or to your peers or to, you know, to the management, what's in there, what kind of complexity to expect when you convert the database. Okay. Not here. No. So here is the pure estimate for every object, wherever So it assumes that it would take manually to convert, and that's the estimate for all those errors, that for all these errors. But it doesn't look at the testing, it doesn't look at the application conversion, it doesn't look at the integration, deployment. All these steps are kind of separate. And it's, I know it's some, so, I mean, you know, there are some rules of thumb that I usually use. So I kind of, if you just ask me, so the testing, how much would it add, or what would be the percentage of testing of the overall project, I would say it's usually somewhere between 20 and 30%. It could be more or less, but I mean, you know, in general, that's kind of the number. It's at least based on my experience, it's somewhat easier to test the converted application if the business logic is within the database. So if there is a whole bunch of store procedures or package procedures, I think it's easier to test. But you know what? I mean, many times you don't have that. You don't have this luxury. I mean, you've got a whole bunch of embedded SQL statements in the app, and then you just need to test the entire application. That's any questions on assessment? Okay, I can just go back to that later on, but I mean, that's kind of the idea. So again, you know, going back to the, so from the process standpoint, you know, you identify your customer, Oracle or Sybase migration, you download the tool, you know where to do that, right? Get the tool, install it, get the register, connect to Oracle Sybase, and then either run create report or convert schema. And if it's create report, that's what you're going to get. And once you're going to get that, look at the number.
Can you have a feature where you multiply the estimation time by a customer's willingness to pay?
No.
Next question.
Or, since this is HTML, you can parse that, identify this, and create a product that would just, you know, multiply this number by X number of dollars per hour. Sure, hey. And that would be extension, yeah.
I wonder, what happened, for example, there are some features in Oracle, external table, SQL loader, a table function that are not supported in SQL Server. So what happened with the tool? You get, I don't know what to do, but you get a proposal.
So there are two different situations. One is, let's say, the question was, what about the function that exists? You're saying there are functions that exist in Oracle and don't exist in SQL Server.
For example,
For example, SQL Loader, right. So let me separate two separate things. So there is a whole bunch of functions. There is a whole bunch of system packages exist in Oracle, don't exist in SQL Server. And you know what? That's some of the list. If I go to this document, let's just go to the hold on a second. I'm looking for the list of the functions. I think it was somewhere in here. Anyway, let me. I'll just keep talking, and then okay. I think it's here. So these are, let's say, some of the functions, or some of the system packages that exist in Oracle, like DBMS SQL or DBMS output or DBMS print, etc. So let's say the put line would be converted to print. So there are two ways to look at that. One is SSMA will try its best to actually convert the code. And sometimes it is able to convert some of these Oracle packages or packaged functions to SQL Server functions, if they exist. And it will try to make it to the native function as close as possible. That's one thing. The other option is that you may have functions that just don't have an exact counterpart. We don't have the compatible function in SQL. Then what we've done, we created a library of functions, what we call SSMA extension pack. And that extension pack, it comes with the tool. It comes with SSMA as part of that download. And that extension pack, it contains three things. But let me refer to this function thing. So it contains a library of functions that emulate the behavior of Oracle functions, of those Oracle functions that don't exist in SQL Server. And not just don't exist, but don't have a native, compatible function. A simple example is function instr. Instr doesn't exist in SQL Server and exists in Oracle. So we try to emulate it using one of these functions from the extension pack. And what the extension pack, from the pragmatic standpoint, does, it installs another database called SysDB. And this database, in that database, we will install, create a separate schema. I think it will be called SSMA for Oracle, or SSMA Oracle, or SSMA Aura. And in that schema, we'll install a whole bunch of functions. And these functions would be either transact SQL functions or CLR functions. And then when SSMA, every time when SSMA gets the code from Oracle, referring to one of these functions, it would convert it to one of the functions in SysDB. And you know what? I'll show you an example on this code. So let me see. I'm pretty sure I'll just find in any one of the functions, I should be able to find a reference to this one of these SysDBs. Let's see. So I'm looking for, let me see if I can. Right. So you see, here's the reference it's something different. That's the reference to the package, package initialization procedure. Let me find another one. So since I'm already showing that, these are references to package variable functions, emulation functions. I can refer to that. I was thinking to refer to that after the break, but it's fine. Okay, let me pick up another maybe procedure. So here is an example. Let's see. So in Oracle, there was a reference to toochar operating on the sysdate in this format. And when SSMA converts that, it needed to convert this toochar to something else, knowing that it would operate on a certain parameter, on a certain data type. So that's reference to sysdate, that becomes a reference to get, that's pretty much the get date, right? But the get date would return output in a different format versus sysdate. So we had to create a separate function. So this SSMA Oracle, toochar date, this function, this one, toochar date, that's the one that we created as part of the library. So then it goes, it's been called from sysdb.ssma oracle toochar date. Does it make sense? Yeah, so that's the idea. And this library, so once you install it, it's just a separate database. So there are references to this database from inside the code. There are kind of good and bad things about it. One of the bad things is that pretty much you get another database. So now you may have your Oracle database, you want it to migrate to SQL Server, suddenly you get another database. this database contains these objects, these functions. Sometimes it's fine, right? But I mean, you know, as a DBA, you may have, I don't want to deal with another database. I'd rather have just one, all that. What you could do, what people sometimes do, they just take this schema and move the schema to another, to your user database, to your regular database. Or you can use, you can move even just the functions. With functions, you would still have to modify all the references. Or you can create synonyms, but you know, you would have to do some additional work if you decide to do that. But that's the idea. So that's answering the question about the what about the functions that exist in Oracle and don't exist in SQL Server. But the same about Sybase. That's kind of very similar. There is another thing about something like SQL Loader. For SQL Loader, we don't have an automated solution yet. So all the SQL Loader scripts, at this point, they got to be converted manually. Right? So not there yet. But I mean, that's something that, again, we've done pretty much many times. We just get in the code and converted that to an SSIS package that would do SQL Server Integration Services package that would do pretty much the same thing as the SQL Loader does. Yeah, I mean, look. I mean, if there is nothing, there is nothing. The approach always was. Now it's a bit different because I'm no longer Microsoft. But when I was there, the approach was always work with the customer. If the customer got some code that needs to be converted, and I see that this pattern happening, I would just take this specific thing. Ask my development team. Let's put it into the product. Let's incorporate this conversion into the product as one of, put it, just add it to the roadmap. Now you need to talk to these guys and to to Microsoft and say, hey, you know what? I need that. And sometimes they listen. Well, that's too big to ask, but Now sometimes if you ask too much, anyway, so this is kind of the idea. For emulation, this is the other thing that we do. If I go back to the product, right? There are a few options here. If I go to let's say project settings. So, and now we in the latest version, we kind of almost removed that. But we used to have a situation where you, let's say you've got a function substr. The substr, Oracle function, most of the times, just I would say 95% of the times, gets converted to substring of SQL Server with no problem. Absolutely no issues. Sometimes, though, it might contain weird or not weird, unusual parameters. So substr, the Oracle substr may get a negative number as an argument. SQL Server substring would fail. Just report an error. And so because of that, we actually have an emulation. So, one of the parameters here is, do you want to convert substr function to substring, yes or no? And if it's no, then every time when it's going to be referenced to substr in Oracle, we would convert it to one of our sysdb functions. So we had very heated discussions with customers who were saying, why? Why do you do that? There's a substring. Why can't you use the native SQL Server function? And that was for a reason for us at some point to kind of really, make this mechanism a bit more complex. And then make it configurable. So there is what we used to call it optimistic mode and kind of full mode. The optimistic mode is to convert all this substr or tochar to as close as possible to native or SQL Server functions. And the full mode, where we just cover all the cases. that's kind of we just say whatever, we're just going to convert that to the sysdb function. It might be, maybe it's not going to be as fast as the native, but it's going to cover all the cases.